The fourth reading of Parshas Noach. It's time to leave the ark. The rain has ended, the floods have subsided, earth has reappeared. Vayedaber Elokim al Noach. Chapter 8, verse 15, God speaks to Noach. And he says, Lamer. Now this is unusual. Usually, typically, when we have the word Lamer, so saying, it's like when God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells him, you should tell the Jewish people. So he says, Vayedaber Shalom Moshe, Lamer, he should say to others. The question, of course, is, who is Noach supposed to be speaking to? Let's just say he doesn't have much of a congregation or a following. There's nobody left. So the Psikta Zutrusa says that Lamer means to tell Bonov V'ishtei, that he should tell everybody else who's with him, namely his wife and his children. Always God has a family to preach to. But now he should tell his children, God wants us to leave the ark. And this is interesting because later on, when it comes to the business of Hashem making promises, with the rainbow and with the commitment and covenant that Hashem makes, it says God spoke to Noach and to his family. Here, God only speaks to Noach, and he speaks to him in the manner of Lamer. The Chizkuni says that doesn't have to be the case necessarily. It was obvious that Noach would speak to his family and tell them, but rather this is Kein Derech HaKosov Lichpel. The manner of speech, as is documented in the scripture, is that oftentimes there is seeming redundancy. It's just a figure of speech, so to speak. And perhaps this is why Rashi does not comment, because there is the eminent possibility that it is but a figure of speech, and in Pshuto Shel Mikra, it doesn't have to be Noach speaking to his children. So God speaks to Noach. What does he say to him? He says, Tzei min hateva, you need to leave this ark. Leave. Go out of the ark. Ata you, ve'ishtecha, your wife, uvonecha, and your children, your sons, uneshevonecha, and your daughters-in-law, itach, together with you. You need to go. So the obvious question, which Rashi does not really deal with, is why is it necessary to be told to leave the ark? After all, nobody wants to be cooped up. This was not exactly a cruise ship. It was not a beautiful place. It was a terrible place. It was a rotten, stinking, horrific, huge barge. A barge that floated for one whole year with who knows how many animals and the refuse that was generated, and there was no method of waste removal. Why would they want to leave? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Noach was not one for a great initiative. He was very dutiful. He was good at following. You give him orders, he followed the orders. Hashem told him what to do, so he went into the Teva. Now he's in the Teva. Is he leaving? I don't know. God didn't tell me to leave. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says he did not want to leave the Teva, save with the commandment of Hashem. When Hashem will tell him to leave the Teva, that's when he leaves the Teva. God commanded him to go into the Teva, he's in the Teva. When God commands him to leave, that's when he'll leave. So this is, that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. And the fact of the matter that was mentioned yesterday is that Noach did not exactly go onto the Teva only when God told him to go onto the Teva. In fact, Noach waited until the rain started falling. So he wasn't so dutiful and he wasn't such a tzaddik. And why would Noach not leave the Teva? And it gets even more interesting. The command that God gives to Noach, if it's kol ha'chaya asher itcha, all of the animals are with you, mikol basar, from all flesh, ba'if uva behema, be they fowl or animal, ubechol ha'remes ha'remes al ha'aretz, all of the creepy things that are crawling on the ground, hayitze itoch, take them out with you, v'shartzu va'aretz, and then they will swarm in the earth, ufru urvu al ha'aretz, and they will be fruitful and they will multiply. So before we go on to Rashi, I just want to share with you the Rebbe's perspective on this. The Rebbe maintains that neither Noach nor the animals wanted to leave the ark because they understood that once they would leave the ark, then everybody would revert to their naturally aggressive behavior. The lion would no longer be lying with the lamb, but he was on the table because there were no, it doesn't say that there were cages, there was no jailer, there was no zookeeper. It was a free-for-all. So Hashem essentially changed everybody's nature, and they had this peaceful coexistence, which was a foretaste of the heightened spiritual state of the future. It's like a messianic reality, a little tiny messianic reality where everybody was behaving, and Noach was afraid to disturb the peace. And that's not illogical. I mean, who has the guts to disturb a foretaste of the future? So Hashem says, leave, tse min ha-teva. You need to go out of the teva. Now, why does the Torah have to say, ata ve'ishtecha? What was it? Noyach, you leave the teva. Leave your wife on the boat, that's okay. She can sit there. Like, what, was she not going to leave until Noyach comes along and says, Nama, we have to go now. Nama says, nah, come on, Noyach, it's so good here on the teva. It's delightful. Okay, Noyach says, you stay on the teva. I'm going to go out and build a house. Like, it doesn't make any sense. What is the message that's being conveyed to us over here? So if you remember, when the family of Noach was commanded to go onto the teva, it was commanded individually. It says Noach, and then his sons, and then his wife, and then their wives. It's commanded separately. And at that time, Rashi told us that this is separately because they were not permitted to cohabit. They were not permitted to be intimate. This was not a love boat, a pleasure cruise. This was a hellhole. This was a survival craft. There was no fun over here. And Noach worked like a dog, as we learned yesterday, till he was literally spitting blood. He couldn't catch his breath. So the reason then, since the command was that they should be celibate, they should not be engaging in marital relations. So here we have this emphasis, tzeivin ateva, go out of the teva, ata ve'ishtecha. Now go out as a couple. In other words, ish ve'ishte, husband and wife. Kan, it is here at this point, hitu lehem tashmash hamita, that intimacy was permitted. So when they got onto the teva, it was ata uvanecha. There's a guy's dormitory and a girl's dormitory. You and your sons. Ishtecha unesheivanecha. Here Hashem says to Noach, take Nama's hand. Now you're going out as a couple. From this point and onward, the prohibition of being together has been rescinded. And then it says, going on to verse 17, a funny word. It's spelled hoitzei with a vav. However, it's read hayitzei. What is hayitzei? Hoitzei ksiv, says Rashi. It says hoitzei, but hayitzei kri. There's a kri and a ktiv. It's the way the word is written, and then there's the oral tradition of how it should be vowelized and read. Hayitzei means emor lehem sheyetzu. Don't let them go. Tell them to go. You need to communicate with them. Tell them. Out. We're leaving the ark. We're going back out into the great big world. Why is that? Because im einam roitzim, if you open the door and they run, great. If they bolt, you're fine. If they don't, hoitzieim ata. You make sure to take them out. Nobody should be left living in a teva. And the Torah says, v'shar tzubaris, they should swarm. What does it mean, they should swarm? So the swarming here actually refers to multiplying. It refers to fruit, being fruitful. Rashi tells us, v'le b'teva, but not on the ark. Magid, from here we can learn and derive, sha'afa behema v'ha'oif nesru b'tashmesh, that intimate behavior ceased amongst all creatures. Even the animals did not mate. And so now the emphasis is, you go out of the teva, and now it's time to mate again. Now it's time for you to go forward and do what must be done in order to repopulate the earth. Radak says that Hayitzei means you brought them in, you bring them out. In other words, finish the job. But Vishartsu Ba'aretz, so this is a double euphemism or a double expression according to Ramban. They should ride the earth, so to speak, go around the earth. And it also refers to the concept of Pru Revu. According to the Targum, Vishartsu Ba'aretz is the manner in which they should multiply, in a way of shritza, in a way of multiplying, intense multiplication, that they should continue to multiply as quickly as possible. The Malbim maintains that shritza refers to animals who lay eggs. They should lay eggs quickly. And Pru Revu is animals who give birth to live offspring. At any rate, this is the bottom line. The first command, the first notion after the ark is completed, the ark's mission is finished, the flood waters have receded, the first idea right away we have is that they should leave, and that the leaving should be with an eye towards repopulation and procreation. And so we will conclude today's class with a very beautiful lesson from our Rebbe in the book of Biyurim, Biyurei Chumash, Simen Yutes. The Rebbe points out, Hadavar Harishon, page Kuflamet, the very first thing, Shehoira HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeNoach, that God instructed or gave direction to Noach, Lasseis The first thing he should do, besides go out, first thing you should do, first thing God said is not build cities. He didn't say rebuild homes. He didn't say create civilization. He didn't say create plays. He didn't say create currency, governance, and a system of anthropology. The first thing he said to him was l'kayim mitzvahs piryeh v'rivyeh. The first thing he said was, now go fruitful, now multiply. Kach nemer gam b'pasuk haba, that's found in verse 16. As we see, the way Rashi explains it to us, same in Hateva Ata v'ishtecha, that hitila and tashmash hamita, that intimacy was permitted, and intimacy typically leads to procreation. In the next verse, it's even more explicit. With regard to the animals, whose prohibition of intimacy we never heard of before, we're only hearing about it now when it's being rescinded, it says clearly, v'sharetzu ba'aretz, they should swarm in the earth, meaning, as we learned in various ways, multiplication. It says, peru revu, be fruitful and multiply. Alaretz. The Rebbe says, hasiba lekach, the reason that the first thing that Noach's job was not to build a shul, was not to create a yeshiva, was not to do something high-minded and spiritual. The first thing was, go ahead and build families, create offspring. Since now we are on the heels of a terrible genocidal flood, Shemacho as kol hayikum, it all liberated all life. It's all gone. Only what was in the tevas left. Me'ata hamasima harishena, the first and the primary responsibility is now livnes es ha'olam mechadash. It's time to rebuild that which was lost. Lost a lot of people, lost a lot of life. Now fill the world with new life. And the Rebbe believed that mikan hirah miyuchedes l'dereinu, that this spoke to us in a unique fashion in our generation, us, we, the post-Holocaust generation. The Der Sha'avar Afhu Mabel, our generation that experienced a terrible genocidal flood, a flood of murder, a flood of hate, a flood of torture, a flood of ghetto and gas chamber, a flood in which the vast majority of our people were all liberated from the face of earth. Rachman al-Tzan, heaven forfend. Shabay Nimcha Chayla Gadol Ma'am Yisrael, an enormous percentage of the Jewish people were lost. L'cholaresh, first and foremost, Mutalas al Elu Shazachu, on the survivors, those who managed to escape B'chaste Hashem by the grace of God. L'hinatzel Mabel Zeh, to be saved from this Holocaust, from this Mabel. V'alza etzatzeihem, and on their offspring. This is not only the first generation. This is a responsibility that we have too. Haschus v'achrayis livnis mechodesh asam yisol begashmias. We need to have Jews, my friends. We need to have more Yidden, plain and simple. And the way you have more Yidden is by having more children. Only after our nation has been refurbished, only after our numbers have been replenished, only after the nation of Israel has been rebuilt, so then you can worry about how I'm going to influence them in a positive fashion. And I know that most of the people sitting around this table are not in their childbearing years, and you're not ready to go and have more children now. So, but here's the thing. I shared this with you many times. Dr. Mordechai Kadar, you know that famous Israeli, he once told me like this. He said to me, I think it's four children. He says, I can't have children anymore, he says. But I do everything possible to encourage my children to have children. He says, I encourage them to get married early. I babysit whenever they want. It's like a busy guy. He says, I don't care. Anything I could do to make it easier for them to have one more child, he says, I don't even think twice. Because the most important thing in the world is we should have more Yidden. And this was the Rebbe's perspective, not chas v'shalom, the typical North American ridiculous idea that you have to have 1.2 children and 3 dogs, and that's called a fulfilled Jewish life. Chas v'shalom, achman al-san, that is not the way a Yid should live, that each and every one of us has a sacred duty to have a large family and to bring as many Yidden as possible into the world. And that's what they did in the aftermath of the Mabel, and that's what we must do in the aftermath of our Mabel too. You know, Elie Wiesel didn't want to get married. He said, how can I bring children into such a horrible world? And the Rebbe labored to convince him to get married. And at his wedding in Jerusalem, a bouquet of long-stem roses, a dozen long-stem roses arrived from the Rebbe's office as a wedding gift. And the Rebbe said, and he did have children, at least one son yet. And this is something that there were survivors who were fearful. And Torah's message is, be fruitful, not fearful. Let's increase our numbers. But the